The Daily Buzz is made possible with support from Studio Movie Grill, opening hearts and minds one story at a time. A trip to SMG is unlike any other entertainment experience. Whether you come early or stay late, we'll set the mood for a great night to socialize and connect with an immersive movie-going experience. And independent filmmakers, you can four-wall your film or find a home at the many film festivals they host in their 30 locations across the country. And Onward, a search-driven brand experience agency. In today's heads-down society, people crave relevance, emotional connection, and honest information. Our pioneering search-first process delivers the credible insights for informed marketing communications. You're listening to The Daily Buzz on kcpw.org, moviecitynews.com, and You Offend Me, You Offend My Family. This is day three. I'm John Wildman, and we are on location in Park City, Utah at the 2018 Sundance Film Festival. We're coming to you from the Slam Dance headquarters on historic Main Street, interviewing some of the year's most important and exciting voices in the independent film world. Joining me this morning are my co-hosts Minji Chang and Lanzia Wan. Today, we will be talking about the Sundance film We the Animals and Sundance title The Rainbow Experiment, and have a conversation with Slam Dance Founders Award recipients, the Russo Brothers, along with Slam Dance founder Peter Baxter, to discuss the new $25,000 filmmaker fellowship they have announced this year.
You're listening to The Daily Buzz, and I'm here with one of Slam Dance's co-founders, Peter Baxter, as well as Joe Russo and Anthony Russo, who are getting the Founders Award here at Slam Dance. Peter, tell us about how Slam Dance came to give the Russos the award. Like, how did that process sort of go? And they have a long history with you in Slam Dance, of course, since 1997 with Pieces, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. It's 20 years already. That's how I think it's come about. And, we're at the Treasure Mountain Inn now, and we have this hallway here, and lots of, great filmmakers are walking down the hallways this year. But, Anthony and Joe, back in 1997, took their first steps at this hotel and their premiere of Pieces. And like filmmakers here this year, they were first time directors showing a film which didn't have distribution or big names in it, but it had a great deal of passion and a great deal of creativity, and we wanted to support that talent. And I learned two things about Joe and Anthony quite quickly: that the whole Russo family can fill a theater at Treasure Mountain Inn, and they were determined to succeed. And there was this one person in the audience who was not called Russo, but was called Steven Soderbergh. And he saw their film and really gave them an amazing opportunity. And I think one of the reasons they're back here at Slam Dance this year is that, they have continued to give back to the Slam Dance community.
Definitely.
As their careers have prospered and now sort of they're kind of at the top, right, really, of global filmmaking. They've never forgotten their roots, and they've never forgotten to continue to support emerging artists. And we really wanted to honor and recognize that at this year's Slam Dance.
It's amazing. And I mean, Slam Dance is, that's sort of what it's about, filmmakers, supporting filmmakers with your association with the Directors Guild of America. And Anthony and Joe, you guys you're kind of the dream come true. You were discovered in a small mountain town film festival 20-something years ago, and by Steven Soderbergh while he had his film. I want to say it's called Schizopolis. Can you kind of describe the sort of the dream evolving into reality experience for us?
Yeah, I mean, it was a very long road. It was, as we say, the 10-year overnight success story. But we started. We were obsessed with film at a young age and grew up very close to the Cleveland Cinematheque, where we used to watch a lot of foreign films together. So it was a common experience that we shared in movies. And we love good stories and interesting filmmaking. And I think Anth was in law school and I was getting a graduate degree in acting. We were both at Case Western in Cleveland. And Robert Rodriguez had just made El Mariachi, and he wrote a book describing his experience and saying that he made the film for $10,000, and there were a lot of Cinderella stories happening in Park City, including Soderbergh. Mm-hmm. He was the first. There was Brothers McMullen, there was Rodriguez, so there's a lot of filmmakers getting anointed out of this town. and inspired us to make our own movie with credit cards. And, you know, it took us 3 years to make the film. And when we shot the movie, we didn't have enough money to develop the film, so it sat in a refrigerator for 6 months until we made enough money to get it developed. And, you know, so it was a very long road that we took. Cut it on a Steenbeck in an apartment I was living in. It took 2 years to cut the movie, and because we didn't know anything about making films. So we were teaching ourselves as we went. And then, you know, when we brought the film here, we were lucky enough to be invited to Slamdance. And Steven sat in that screening and changed our careers. And we got a phone call about a week after the festival. And Soderbergh was on the other line. He said he loved the movie. It was very similar, by the way, to Schizopolis, which is a very radical narrative.
That long non-linear format.
Exactly. Sort of. It was non-linear format, absurdist, embraced absurdism. And I think he saw a kindred spirit in us, and he changed the entire trajectory of our careers.
Cool. That's amazing. And it's sort of kind of polar opposites to what you guys have been known for these days, coming from this very independent sort of non-linear format surrealism, that sort of stuff, into very mainstream movies. But it's awesome that you guys are still sticking with the roots, and there's a fellowship that's being given out during Slamdance as well. It's $25,000 cash prize, but the biggest reward is probably the mentorship of the two of you.
Yeah, I mean, the debt we owe to Soderbergh is we can never really describe it in Slamdance, of course. I mean, the thing to remember, I think that it's a Cinderella story any way you look at it, but I think specific to our situation, you know, we had no connection to the larger film community whatsoever, very small film community, especially at that time in Cleveland. We didn't know what to do with the movie. We brought the movie to the Independent Feature Projects, sponsored this market in New York called the Independent Feature Film Market, I think. And we brought the film there. And the whole premise of that is like you pay a couple hundred dollars and you show your film there, and there's like distributors and programmers and whatnot. And we, you know, they tell you at the beginning of your screening, they're like, don't worry if people walk out. They're not here to really watch them. It's not a festival audience. They're just looking for something that they can use. So we packed our theater at the Angelica, and like during the screening, about 2/3 of the audience walked out of the theater. And after the screening was over, the rest of the third walked out, the remaining third walked out, and two people stopped on their way out. One was a producer who I just had a few words with, and the other one was John Fitzgerald, who was Peter's partner and one of the founders of the festival. And he said, hey, I really liked your movie. I think you should apply to our festival. And we did. We came to the festival, and we had a very similar experience here at Slamdance in that while we felt like a part of a community here, there weren't a lot of people that responded positively to the film. I mean, basically the festival ended and Slamdance very kindly gave us the Spirit Award because we had so many family members and friends, I think, buzzing around for the whole festival. It created quite an atmosphere. But they invented, I think, that award for us that year. Yeah. So, but the thing is, there weren't a lot of people responding to our movie. And so the fact that Slamdance did was a miracle, and the fact that Soderbergh did was a miracle. And so we feel, the gratefulness we feel for this organization and for what Steven did for us is immense. And the ability for other filmmakers, other artists, to be able to look at each other people's work and identify things that they think are special, even if that doesn't appeal to a wide audience, is a really important part of the process of like enabling and encouraging artists to become to grow with their art.
Definitely.
And I think we've had that opportunity. And so this opportunity to work in partnership with like the most special organization we've come across in our careers, Slamdance. And so to do this annually and find a filmmaker who we can help along with some cash and advice and whatever else, you know, that's a great opportunity for us.
That's great. Is there, because of all your notoriety for the Avengers films and that sort of stuff, is there a desire to go back to making smaller movies, to more independent films, and maybe doing another Slamdance submission?
Our entire career is littered with, you know, moves into different mediums. I mean, I think what gets us out of bed every day is the challenge of telling a story a different way. And from, you know, taking a journey from a movie that, you know, that nobody wanted to working on, you know, the Avengers films is a very unique journey and took a lot of effort and energy and thought. And that's what excites us about that kind of journey. Worked in television, we did comedy, we did drama, we've made commercials, we've done big films, little films. So that's what excites us. And it's never been sort of pre-planned, you know. It's always about, well, that's an interesting story to tell. Let's go tell it. And so I think we're just going to look for what the next interesting story is to tell. I mean, we're definitely, really interested in new tech. And, you know, we shot Arrested Development as one of the first narrative show shot on video. And it just worked for the style of show that we wanted to execute. So we're interested in AR and VR and new ways to tell stories. And I've got four kids who consume narrative in a very different way than I did.
Right.
And I think I think we're in a disruption phase, and it's going to end up leading to some really interesting advancements in narrative in the next 20 years.
Cool. We're just about out of time, but Peter, I'd love for you to tell me, because you've known these guys for so long from the very beginning, have you noticed changes in their styles? Have you noticed any differences? Have they become different people? If you can maybe give us some lowdowns about how they've become from the Pieces directors to Avenger directors.
I think that's one of the great things about Joe and Anthony, and they've always remained so down to earth. And they remain true, really, to the spirit of Slam Dance in so many ways, because, you know, you see here a program of unfiltered voices, an organic approach, really, to independent filmmaking, to independent storytelling. And as we just heard, they're not only celebrating that, but they're still a part of that. And I also think, too, that, you know, this sense of mentorship and what mentorship really means, you know, often we're besotted really by celebrity culture, and we're told that many of these celebrities and maybe sports people too are mentors, but really they're not. They're human beings, and they're good human beings. But mentorship really happens over consistently over a long period of time. And 20 years later, you know, here Joe and Anthony are at Slam Dance, and they've proved to be really great mentors to emerging artists, and still doing that and are growing that actually with this fellowship award. So no, I don't see a change. I see consistency, true mentorship, and Joe and Anthony being part of this Slam Dance community. We're very fortunate to have
two guys that were from Cleveland that John found and this tiny little festival, I guess. And I love that you kind of bring up that they're great mentors. And as you know our producer, Irene Cho, who recently passed away. And I mean, she was a mentor to all of us that work on this show. So,
well, exactly. And it was, you're absolutely right to say that about Irene, because look how consistent she was in what she did and the support that she gave. Not just the people that she worked with, but filmmakers over a very long period of time.
Definitely. Given a voice to a lot of indie filmmakers, documentary filmmakers. Thank you guys so much for being here on The Daily Buzz. I was speaking with Peter Baxter from Slam Dance, as well as Joe Russo and Anthony Russo, who are also receiving the Founders Award from Slam Dance. This is Lancia Wan with The Daily Buzz. Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Daily Buzz, and this is John Wildman. I'm with my co-host, Minji Cheng, and right now we're going to talk about the film We the Animals, which is in the next category at Sundance, and we've got a team here. So, in fact, I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves. Let's start, Jeremiah, with you.
Jeremiah Zagar, the director.
Jeremiah is our director. Dan?
I'm Dan Katroser. I am the co-screenwriter.
And we've got two of our cast members. Raul?
My name is Raul Castillo. I play the role of Pops.
And Sheila.
And I'm Sheila Van, and I play the role of Ma.
Okay. So, let's start off this way. Jeremiah, why don't you introduce our audience to what the film is about?
The film is a wild, vibrant coming-of-age story, kind of like you've never seen before. Hopefully, like you've never seen before. In the book, We the Animals, that it's based on by Justin Torres, is one of the most unique and incredible books I've ever read. And we tried our best to translate that story to the screen.
I loved how you guys put it in the production notes, as opposed to doing like an adaptation or a rewrite. What was the word that
translation?
It was a translation.
Yeah, and I think there's an art in translation, but I mean, ultimately, that's what we're trying to do. It's trying to remain as true to the book as possible, and just put what was there up on the screen.
And Dan, you were instrumental in kind of unlocking the lockbox to make this thing happen. Can you talk about what your in was to help make this thing what it is?
Yeah, well, Jeremiah picked the book off the shelf because he liked the cover. And,
nice. Selection process.
And then he read it, and he was like, well...
And he couldn't stop reading it, right?
I loved it, yeah. I read it right there in the bookstore.
And so he would do it himself if he was more talented, so...
So instead,
he reached out to me.
Who is much more talented.
And better looking. Your audiences can't see, but it's a fact. I think the key to unlocking it was to both find myself into it and also disappear. And it's a coming of age story, and our hero discovers both his art and his sexuality through his writing, which is also how I discovered it, because I wasn't this good looking back in the day. So
it all unfolds. In
it does
the most creative ways.
Exactly, I'm like a cactus.
Yes, with that analogy.
Well, they have flowers eventually. But we've gotten a bit off track here. But it was a beautiful process of constantly rediscovering the book. Jeremiah would tear apart each vignette and find what was visual, what was cinematic, what the rhythms were, and then just keep poring over them and restitching them together. And Justin's book is so gorgeous in its structure and how each poetic vignette crashes into the next. And to make it into a film, I think one of the processes was to also look at that stitching and see now how inside of a 90-minute movie where the audience is going to be watching it in one full stretch, how do you have these different vignettes crash into each other?
I want to get our actors in here too, Rel and Sheila. And this is, I mean, you know, if it's in the next category, we know that there were not like a bunch of honey wagons, and you guys didn't have a huge teams of makeup people and all that stuff. You know, you've got a scaled down production. And this is a tight knit thing. And as actors, that kind of oftentimes puts a little bit more responsibility on you guys to be able to pull this off. Under Jeremiah's direction, can you talk about what it was like to work on the film? And also, the fact is, you know, this guy, this Jeremiah dude, is a documentary filmmaker, and and talk about how that dynamic was between you guys.
I think I've always looked for opportunities like this as an actor, and they're so far and few between. And this is actually probably the most intensive experience that I've had, like going away upstate New York with this motley crew of our artists and getting to, you know, throw ourselves into this wonderful story that we all cared about so much. I think it was, if we had trailers and if we had sound stages, I don't think that we could have captured the raw quality that is so part of the book. And that I think that Dan and Jeremiah captured in the script as well. So I think the process was just as vital to the final outcome as anything. So I was really excited by Jeremiah. I mean, you know, I guess I read the script. It was sent to me. I read it and I thought, what the hell is this? It was so original and weird, and I'd never read anything like this. And I scrolled to the front page and I said, oh, it's based off a novel. That makes a lot of sense, because it just seems so, the world seems so full and so complex. And I finished reading it and fell in love with it, and I never thought they would cast me. So I kind of went into the audition thinking, oh, they'll never cast me. I never get cast, you know. And I just, but I loved it so much, and I wanted to meet the people who were making this into a movie because I was so fascinated by it, and I thought the script was so strong. And then they cast me. Then the next thing you know, we were up in Utica, New York, and filming the movie.
And Sheila, you've been at the service of very cool directors that, and here again, you've got. I have to think it was another very different experience for you working with Jeremiah.
Yeah, I try to seek out artists to work with because that process excites me the most, and I definitely consider Jeremiah to be an artist. And when I saw his documentary In a Dream and coupled with reading Justin's book, I could see that they were both very open about sharing parts of their own lives and their own families, and it brought up so much for me throughout the process about my own family, and I feel like it has a lot of universal themes that about, you know, growing up and becoming your own person within your family. And it was a really unique process. Like Raul said, sometimes filmmaking can be really impersonal. You get cast, you kind of slide in and slide out. And that was not the environment Jeremiah created. It was about really becoming a family. And I think as a cast and crew, we all did, not only because we lived together, but because there were these three children that we were all constantly trying to sort of navigate how to not parent them, but sort of like introduce them to a process they hadn't been in either, ever. And they're playing tough roles. And yeah.
You know, I frequently rail on the Sundance Film Festival as far as the lack of what I think are true discovery films. I think this one really is. Again, the film is We the Animals. It's in the next category. We've had with us Jeremiah Zager, the director, Dan Catroser, the screenwriter, and Raul Castillo and Sheila Vand, who are both in the film. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right.
Should have inserted.
You're listening to The Daily Buzz on KCPW and kcpw.org. I am John Wildman. I'm here with my co-host, Minji Cheng. And the segment we're talking about right now is about The Rainbow Experiment, which is screening in the Beyond Feature section at Slamdance. We have the director-writer, Christina Callis, and also one of the cast members, Isaiah Blake, here to talk about the film. And it is a lot of film to talk about. So I think Christina has got her breath now after rushing up here through the snow, and I will let her introduce the film to the audience. Tell us about the movie.
Hi, nice to be here. The Rainbow Experiment is a multi-protagonist, non-linear film, and it's set in a high school. We shot the film in New York City, in a public high school, and it starts with an explosion, and then it goes off after that.
It's a science experiment, literally a science experiment in high school that goes awry, and then opens up all kinds of cans of worms for, you know, with teachers, with parents, with officials, obviously the students, you love working stylistically on a lot of different fronts with a lot of different images, a lot of different screens, and as you explore what is going on in people's heads and their motivations. Isaiah, I want to bring you in right now to talk about what it was like to be an actor in Christina's circus.
Yeah, the circus is a really wonderful word for it. I thought it was really fun. There was just a lot of freedom, right, and decision that you can make. And like the process of like practicing for the film was actually the most interesting, right? Of doing this concept of emotional doubling, in which we were sort of working together to sort of get into the characters, into the sort of emotional sort of complexity of the characters. I mean, that's sort of what makes the film and the multi-protagonist thing work, because we're so, you know, we're so invested into our characters. And so working with it was really awesome because we knew who we were, right? I just found it to be really fun. And also, it was in my school. So I was in my high school, and it was really interesting to sort of see the space recontextualized for this movie. The chemistry experiment happened in my chemistry classroom.
Experiencing it in a whole new way.
In a whole new way, yeah, absolutely.
That's
so
amazing.
It was really awesome.
It was 36 characters, which is insane. 10 of those 36 characters were high school students like Isaiah here, and that was, they were, you know, amazing to work with just because they were the characters, you know, there was no division between the person and the character. And that's what is really exciting, you know, as Isaiah says, about the process for me as well. I mean, we worked 1.5 years before we actually shot, which is a luxurious amount of time for rehearsal.
Go ahead, Rachel.
Oh, well, I'm just curious because I think we've met so many different filmmakers who approach every project so differently. Their visions are different, you know, and then obviously the production, the way it plays out. And it sounds like with this whole circus imagery that's in my head right now, a year and a half lead up is great, but how long did that shoot take? I'm very curious to understand with 36 characters.
Right, that's the thing. I mean, if you work 1.5 years with the actors, and the actors are the characters, and basically you can shoot it much in a much quicker way than a traditional film. So we shot it in 12 days. The script had 170 pages just because I work with split screens, as John said. So I do a lot of vertical on top of the horizontal editing, which means that there's much more pages to a screenplay of mine than to a traditional screenplay. And we shot, you know, several scenes. You know, we had a ratio, a shooting ratio, which was much lower than a traditional film. So we managed to shoot it in 12 days, which was insane. Very long days, of course, yes.
You know, when I talk to people about the film, you know, I go, you know, it is an experience. In fact, sometimes I almost call it the rainbow experience instead of the rainbow experiment. And I go, because something else is that you actually bring back characters from your previous film, 42 Seconds of Happiness, that their characters continue on into this film. So it's so not only do we have multiple screens and all this, but we're also, you know, are bringing in a life from a previous work. How do you keep that straight, Christina? I've known you for a while.
I don't know. You know, someone who saw the film said, I don't know how it is like in your mind. it's just, you know, it's. I find it fascinating to have those characters. I mean, apart from the fact that I have a number of actors that I like to continue working over a number of years, so it's like my ensemble, and they kind of bring exactly that character work into the next film, but it's not the continuation of their life in the previous film, 42 Seconds of Happiness, which, by the way, is on Amazon Prime, if anyone wants to, and other platforms to check it out. But it's also the it's like a parallel universe. It's like this idea that we all have sometimes. What would it be? What would my life be if I had made a different decision? And I kind of wanted to show. I asked the question basically to myself, how would it be, you know? So I put the characters in a situation where their life has changed with one different decision at a certain point, and we look at them, and then, you know, you can see whether they're such different characters or not. I think ultimately, you know, it's an interesting conversation to have, very existential. I'm very interested in existential questions, so.
Well, we don't have a lot of time left, but I also want to go Isaiah, to you one more time, and talk about, you know, you're a young guy, you haven't been acting that long, you haven't been alive that long. So can you talk about what it was like, you know, to act in this versus like the big picture, what was going to actually happen? You know, were you just like eye on the prize as far as like, here's my line, I know I'm going to be, you know, angry, or I know I'm going to be confused, and I'm just sticking to that? Or are you thinking, well, you know what's going to happen? And it says, oh.
So I didn't know anything that was going to happen. I didn't know the script. I didn't, you know, we were told what we had to do. We had some sort of basis of like what was going.
Well, they got pages.
Yeah, we got some pages before, and so we had somewhat of a feeling of what was happening. But big picture, we're focused on the big picture. And that was really, I think that was the most important part, right? And that we were sort of really honing in on sort of like what it is that we had to get accomplished in the scene. But also we knew ourselves already. We had this conversation with ourselves within that one and a half years prior to. So, you know, it was really just a matter of like, we had the pages, we had the idea, right? And we just went, just went in.
So, awesome. You know, I never give them the full screenplay. So the character and the actor is on the same page.
Well, with a 170-page script, it's a good thing you didn't
do it. It'd
have been a lot of dead trees if you gave
it. Tonight, actually, there's a few actors here, and they're going to be watching the film for the very first time and finding out what actually, you know, happened in that story.
Wow. Well, again, the title of the film is The Rainbow Experiment. Again, it's in the Beyond Feature section here at Slam Dance, and we've been talking to the writer-director, Christina Callis, and one of the actors in the film, Isaiah Blake. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And we're wrapping up day three of the Daily Buzz on kcpw.org, moviecitynews.com, and You Offend Me, You Offend My Family. This show is made possible with the support of KCPW and the Slam Dance Film Festival. Our sponsors, Studio Movie Grill, which is opening hearts and minds one story at a time, and Onward, a search-driven brand experience agency. Additional support is provided by Movie City News, The Market in Park City, Ruby Snap, and City Cakes. Our producer is Lanzia Wan.